Okay, well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
Oh, the sun's gorgeous, the sun's shining. And
you're obviously in Leeds at the moment. Sun's beautiful today.
Yeah. I'm by the seaside, not with me. I'm still in Monaco. When I've done my interview with you, I'm going to toddle up, have a business lunch at Café de Prix, and a glass of rosé champagne will precede it.
Well, that sounds...
all's well with the world.
Yeah, sounds delightful. It's been a busy week here in Leeds, certainly with regards to Leeds United. The Massimo Time to Go protest stepped up their campaign with quite sort of eye-catching display on the side of the East Stand. I wonder if we could get your thoughts on the current situation, KB.
Well, what good does that do? Basically, some anonymous people, about 70 of them, according to other reports, clubbed together and paid an agency to flash that screen sign on the side of the East Stand after they were made to take down the one outside the entrance of the East Stand. A big good deal, would not have a giggle over a pint on Twitter. Then they say, what does it do? Like, Massimo must go. Who's going to go? Who's going to come in? Who would want to come in? How much is needed for anybody to come in? We go from there. The problem is that any responsible businessman, and because at the end of the day, like it or not, Leeds United is a business, will be fearful of coming in. I mean, the total to find out what the hell's going on. The total infrastructure of the club was destroyed under GFH. Massimo hasn't done anything to improve it. He's very much an absentee landlord. He appointed Umbers to be a managing chief executive who knew nothing about football. He might have been a good dealer and intro people for business deals. He introduced GFH to Leeds, but I don't think he has had any practical experience of running a club. And the problem with who would want to, when Adam Pearson came in, he left, and I think that I question, in fact, whether his reason for leaving was as given. But I think it would be very difficult to get somebody really good coming to Leeds United at the moment with Massimo as a chairman, unless an owner, unless he gave the man full unadulterated control, which he won't. But so who's going to come in? How much money are these 70 people going to put up? Okay, they paid for the advert, lovely. Ha ha, very funny. Where do we go from here? And it has a knock-on effect where people don't realise or don't think of. Next thing is, what players want to come to Leeds? Which players? When they see a club's in turmoil. Have they only had their 7 managers now, is it? Since Massimo took over? Who want the job as manager? The present incumbent admitted on TV that team players and purchases had nothing to do with him, that he had a few lined up, as Redfern said before that. But he doesn't make the decisions. And Massimo is so erratic that people are wary of doing business with him. There's so many things unresolved, so many court cases outstanding, many which could have been settled a year or two ago. Enterprise Insurance is still owed £1.5 million, which they've got judgment on. And to be fair, Andrew Flowers is doing everything to try and avoid putting up a winding up order on the club, when, of course, Massimo will pay, plus several hundred thousand legal fees, which he's incurred quite unnecessarily. That money could be spent on players. So, Leeds are a mess. And the players are to be congratulated, actually, on putting that stuff on one side during the 90 minutes and doing their best for the club. We thought it was a very creditable performance against Middlesbrough. and certainly deserve their point. But Leeds aren't going to get relegated this year. They're not going to get the playoffs. That's what the managers will be doing. Is they did when I used to be chairman of the club. Once promotion was out of the question, we're safe from relegation. You bloody the kids. I've said this before. I'll say it again. You blood the kids. You give them experience. Let them see what it's like in the big time in front of thousands of supporters. And at that same time, it gives the manager or coach a chance to assess their potential, how far they can go. All that's being missed. Great tragedy. But the other problem you see is at Leeds is that whoever comes in has got the bogeyman of the GFH overshadowing them with their 23%. They've got no money, so they can't put anywhere in. So I think it's walking sideways for the time being. Until we see some great Yorkshireman galloping to the rescue with his chequebook, and we're turning these to Yorkshire ownership. Can you see that happening? I can't. It's always good for a bit of publicity. Say you're interested in buying Leeds. Grabs the headlines, YEP. That'll look north, maybe. And Yorkshire Post and a couple of radio stations. All dies down. Miracles don't happen. Success comes through hard work, consistency, patience, loyalty from the fans. It doesn't mean giving the club a bad name, and the vast majority of these fans a bad name by some headless morons running around circles chanting and painting. That's not doing anything. Moving on.
Yeah, let's move on, KB. It's been a busy week here at Radio Yorkshire, and not just with what's been happening across the road, but also with Neil Redfern, former Leeds United boss and the former Rotherham United boss most recently, coming in to tell us about not only his time at Rotherham, but his time at Leeds United and some interesting things coming out of there and his relationship with Massimo Cellino and the sort of players that he was hoping to bring in and wasn't able to bring in.
Well, I think that's a repetition of what we were just talking about. Cellino's the man in control. He's not exercising control. Club's just drifting, which is very unfair to the fans. But again, as I said earlier, anybody listening, any good manager listening to that, who would want to come and join the club? Cellino's got his own problems. He said he's not going to invest any more money in Leeds United until his case against the league has been resolved. But I mean, his behaviour over the TV contract really is typically stupid. The fact of the matter is, the Football League is authorised by 72 member clubs to negotiate all commercial rights centrally and distribute the money in accordance to the league rules. And Massimo said, oh, he wants to sell his own league. He's getting, they do it differently in Spain and in Italy, where each club sells his own rights. That's where you've got the same few clubs dominating the league every year. But the thing is, we've had all this before. In the Premiership, Martin Edwards of Manchester United said he wanted to sell his club's own TV. Imagine, I said, well, who are you going to play? Martin isn't the brightest knife in the blade box. So he looked at me a bit puzzled and said, what do you mean? I said, well, Chelsea are going to come up and going to play Manchester United at Old Trafford. You're going to sell your TV rights. He said, yeah. I said, what about our share? He said, what do you mean your share? I said, well, we are providing half the competition, half the entertainment, half the programme. Think we're coming up and doing it for now, you've got another thing coming. If you get involved, I said, Chelsea and no doubt every other club like the team changed in the dressing room, not coming out until they got a bank draft for their share of the gate. We said, you can share, you can sell your TV rights. I said, yeah, we don't work like that, Martin. If you want a league, you've got to have a full league. We've all got, they can provide a bit of competition. So when you're beating the small clubs 2-3, 4-0 every week, all your fans will be satisfied, show how clever you are. But if you haven't got the league, you have nowhere to beat. So don't even think about it. So that went by the wayside. We had all these things all the time. And he's silly. You won't get it. And incidentally, I did a bit of research after he said that, you know, Leeds were the most picked club, blah, 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 blah. Well, they're not. Wolverhampton Wanderers first, then Queen's Park Rangers, and then Leeds. So Wolverhampton Wanderers fans and QPR fans have got even more to complain about than Massimo, but they don't. They just get on with it. I think what he could, what he should do, if he wants to change it, is introduce a clause, a rule amendment, which we did in the Premiership, where every small club has to have a minimum number of games, and no club have be chosen more than a maximum of X. So that means that the burden is shared more equally around the league. Let's face it, more people from the TV point of view, a club like Leeds is more of interest than a club like Rotherham. So that's the burden of being great, Ten Allcook, or perceived as being great, or being perceived as being attractive. It has its pitfalls, you have to carry it, take it with it.
Talking to changes in football, KB, it sort of leads us on quite nicely to the FA's plans with regards to the FA Cup. And it's news that's come out this week about...
Well, just hang on here. It's just hold it. These ideas, are these from the FA or are they from the Premiership?
The Football Association, I think it's. I would imagine it's the top clubs that want these changes.
Let's examine this in some detail. Seven clubs go into Europe every season.
Yeah.
It's the top seven in the Premiership. The rest of the 20, i.e. 13, don't have a fixture congestion problem. Well, the Football League doesn't have one at all. So we're talking about pandering to just seven clubs. Now, I must tell you that this question of replays has risen before. And when I was chairman of the FA Challenge Cup Committee, we had Ericsson, you know, remember, he was boyfriend of Nancy Dallaglio, also England manager. He came in with David Davis from the FA to make a presentation to the FA Challenge Cup Committee about abolishing replays. And we thanked them for the presentation and slung them out while we got down to discussions. And we agreed that just as what I was saying now, it wouldn't be fair. And, you know, the whole glamour of the FA Cup is the fact that anybody can beat anybody on the day. You can go back 50 years, Alex Stocks, Yeovil Townland League. Can't remember, they're knocked out now. I think it was Manchester United, but somebody similar. And you have all the other little clubs. Every year there's giant killer. And it makes it fun. Makes part of the game, part of the challenge. Now, if they're being consistent, then no replay should apply to everything, including the European competitions. One of the things that clogs up the calendar is the European League and the Europa League. We have to play six games in the league. in between two layers of instant, you know, the knockout. Okay, so let's abolish the league. Let's have the European Cup on a knockout basis only. And let's abolish replays in the European Cup and the Europa League. Sounds consistent, doesn't it? And then let's abolish clubs, refusing the right for clubs to go abroad in the international weeks and play matches when their players could be having a rest. It's all inconsistency. And the clubs that are agitating for this have so much money now. Think of the new TV contract. Let them get bigger squads. Maybe get them fitter. Don't pick up injuries so often. That's the answer. And maybe England don't play so many meaningless bloody friendlies. They've really played their part. I can't see it coming to pass, because UEFA and big clubs won't want to be consistent. They're trimming their money-making activities in Europe and their globe-trotting tours, and the players should be resting, having a break. And I can't see the Blazers on the FA Council, who represent the counties, often maligned, but do a lot of bloody hard work on an honorary basis to make the grassroots tick. I can't see them agreeing to it. The sooner Dyke goes, the better. He spent enough time trying to smash up the Football League. Now he's trying to smash up the FA. Let him go back to where he came from. The highlight of his career was Roland Rat on Breakfast TV doing the weather on TV.
Ah, Roland Rat. I remember him with fondness. Let's move on to FIFA and UEFA as well. The suspended UEFA president, Michel Platini, has said at his appeal that he's fighting not for his future, but against injustice. Of course, he was banned for 8 years, KB, by the world's governing body in December. But he says he's still saying, I've done nothing and I'm not afraid of anything. If I had any reproach to myself, I'd be hiding in Siberia. This appeal was heard on Tuesday.
That's the best idea I've heard of him for some time. Any particular part of Siberia?
Yeah. Well, we're expecting a verdict on this later this week, but Michel Platini saying, yeah, he's going to fight against injustice and still denying that he's done anything wrong.
Yeah, well, you know, none as blind as those that won't see. I think he's done a very bad job at UEFA. I think he's been in cahoots with Blatter, and I think it's time for him to move on or move back or live on his wealth he's accumulated over the years. He's lost all credit. The problem is he's lost all credibility. Nobody trusts him. If by some amazing fluke he does, you know, get out of his suspension, then anybody wants him. Who's going to vote for him? He and Blatter should, rather like in the old Western films, ride off slowly together into the sunset, off to their gold vaults, wherever they keep the money. Now, FIFA, in fact, one thing I do agree with Dyke, that I've been saying for years anyway, FIFA should be abolished. Just, we should all resign from, all the associations should resign from FIFA. Start a new one. If one's needed. A committee of the various international associations like, you know, like UEFA and the kind of Australians and the Americans, they could run the World Cup. Then they make sure it's shared out among the nations where people want to watch football. I mean, how many people in Qatar are there? 2022. How many people in Qatar are there who want to watch football? Half of them won't, because the ladies are in burqas. They weren't allowed to go to public things. All the packers and other Asian workers are there. They won't be able to afford to go. So why did Qatar get it in the first place? Should have gone to Australia and America, maybe even China, where there's huge populations who avidly follow football. But Qatar, dear, oh dear, oh dear. Let them stick to Paris Saint-Germain.
Finishing up, KB, on some lighter news and big game coming up for Leeds United with the Box 44. People have got a chance to win tickets to see the Leeds United against Huddersfield game. Always a game that's got a great atmosphere.
Well, that's a derby, isn't it? It's bragging rights. Bragging rights in West Yorkshire. What's the date?
It is on 19th of March.
Oh, in that case, people have got a good time to compete.
Yeah.
Well, what can I say? Leeds versus Huddersfield. Neighbours, friends, neighbours and rivals. It's a good day out. You've given the technical details.
Yes, if you don't want to go and enjoy the match in some luxury in Box 44 on the 19th of March, a 3 o'clock kickoff for this one. Just need to answer this question. How many goals did Leeds score at the John Smiths in the reverse fixture this season on Saturday the 7th of November? Was it A, 1, B, 2 or C, 3? Text DAB and your answer A, B or C to 84383. Text only the words DAB A, DAB B or DAB C or your entry might be invalid. Text costs £1 plus your standard message rate and the entry to that closes on the 16th of March 2016. Winners will be chosen shortly after. Good luck to everybody on that. KB, speak to you
well
again.
Well done, Darren. You're a fantastic interviewer. I'm going to make you an international class interviewer.
Thank you very much.
Go well. Have a good day.